So the word today really is a revealing, I hope, for all of us, of a principle that God actively uses to bring about his will in the earth. We're going to look at a couple of examples of the principle. We'll describe it in detail. We'll give you a couple of examples. And then we'll set the stage for where we are now in the scope of God's plan with the earth and all that's taking place today. All right? So a little bit of a panoramic view, more of a macro view. But I'm hoping that out of it will come forth something that will really witness into each heart, something that you might want to dig into personally. I know there are a couple of things here that have come out of the Word that have witnessed to my heart that I need to probe in further. But the principle that we want to talk about today has to do with God's disruption of life. Now, the book of Isaiah in chapter 55, it speaks of how God's ways are not the ways of man. His ways are higher than man. His thoughts are different than man. So this becomes a real challenge for the human race. The problem that the world is facing today has to do with, essentially, it boils down to this, the carnal mind. The carnal mind in mankind is enmity against everything God wants to do. You can see this throughout all of human history. It's the enemy really within. That would be a great word, actually. The enemy of the carnal mind within, which actually fights and resists and blocks everything that God wants to do. So without the rebirth, which Christ himself brought forth, with the revelation of the rebirth, being born again in him, we're not going to see the day. We're not going to be a part of the day, and we're going to have limitations. Limitations that were never meant to be upon the human race, but due to sin with Adam and Eve, became part of the human race through rebellion against the Word of God. This is a problem for all of humanity, okay? But the answer resides in God's plan for us. Hallelujah. But in order to bring about God's plan for us on every level, God has had to disrupt the trend of things. This is very important to get this. He has to disrupt the trend of life in order to bring about his will. Because everything that's happening in the earth is contrary to his will. So to bring about his will, he has to inject himself into it, into people, and he has to completely disrupt the normal course of human life. This is the work of the cross that we hear about so much as. This is more of a home meeting than a meeting we should take, because this is not the type of message that you're going to go out and win friends and influence people with about a walk in a life in the Spirit. And the whole church age is built really on the peace of Christ, the salvation of Christ, which are all true principles.
Yes.
But we're going to give you an example to start off here with a very disruptive scripture, which, let's take a quick look at Luke chapter 12. And that's verse 49. To support this. Luke 12:49. I have not come to bring fire on the earth. I have come to bring fire on the earth. This prophecy actually came forth a couple weeks ago, didn't it? I have come to bring fire on the earth. And how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am until it is completed. See, his knowledge of what he needed to do unto the Father to complete the plan. And he was constrained by it. Do you think I came to bring peace on the earth? Well, wait a minute. I thought Christ came to bring peace on the earth. So which is it? Does he come to bring peace on the earth? Or does he come not to bring peace on the earth? It's actually both. It's actually both. The only way we're going to get to the peace, though, is through the death of the self. Yeah. It's through the work of the cross, the death of the self, then we come to the peace. Yeah. He says, no, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. Man, can you imagine? This is a difficult thing to say. This reminds me of John chapter 5, when he started speaking about, you're going to have to eat my blood and drink my flesh, or you have no life within you. This is too hard to accept. And of course, it disrupted the whole society and the whole council of religion at that time. Very disruptive. If you had to put a name on it, Christ really is the ultimate disruptor. He's the ultimate disruptor. Because he has to disrupt all of our plans. Because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways.
He came to set one against another. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other. Three against two and two against three. There will be divisions. A father against his son. Son against his father. Mother against daughter. Daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. I mean, he just articulates it down the line to show us that, look at,
without faith, without believing in him, there's going to be, I mean, we have families today.
Families here, I'm sure, in this group here, that are disrupted because of what? Christ Jesus. That's the dividing line. So, what does all this mean to us? How does God use all of this? I mean, is this a way to accomplish God's plan in the earth? I mean, was this the way that you would do it? It wouldn't be the way I would do it necessarily, to bring about, let's say, a will to accomplish. This is God's way. And we're looking to hear, what are God's ways? What are God's ways? Moses knew the ways of God. All the other over a million people saw the acts of God.
We must be a people that are going to know the ways of God. Because as we start learning the ways of God, we're going to understand this scripture quite well.
Difficult. All right, Lord, we ask your grace and your blessing upon this word in every way, Father.
Some things are always maybe difficult for us to receive, Father, but in thy grace, we ask for ears to hear, and that you'll open up our minds to receive and to know and understand our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Okay. We have a term in the financial world, of which I'm a part of on the business side of it, that is we use for, it's actually disruption. We look for companies that are disruptors. These are companies that maybe they're the sole company in a certain realm that change things. So they're paradigm changers. Those tend to be companies that will have a competitive advantage and probably will do well, and so we might want to invest in those. Okay, so in the financial world, we look for those sort of things. It's kind of funny, but in the natural world, we want pretty much contentment. We want peace. We certainly, the human race really wants consistency. Stock market doesn't like inconsistency, even in our natural life. We don't like a lot of disruptions, right? I mean, we don't like a lot of disruption. Kind of like things the way that we have it in our own little sphere, our own little realm that works for us, right? We get that, all right? So
God understands human nature. God understands us, okay? But he's got to use something to jolt us out of that to come to him. And there are a lot of techniques that he uses, but this whole thing of disruption is one of them.
So let's go, if we could, look in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you an example here of how, in
the book of Exodus, chapter 19,
God certainly disrupted a lot. And with disruption comes judgment, but it comes release.
You know, they have a saying in, but I think it's the Asian language, you know, yin and yang. And they have that, even that symbol, you know, it's black and white. Is it good? Is it bad? You know, within every opportunity, there's a threat. So that's an interesting perspective that we speak a lot about. Within an opportunity, there are also threats. There are good things that can happen and bad things. There's a famous coach in the United States that Lou Holtz, now retired, but he was a great coach for several years at Notre Dame and at South Carolina. I'm sorry, ladies, probably lost you on this. Maybe some of the guys don't watch football, but being a football guy that I am. So he was asked, well, gee, one of your best players got hurt. You know, isn't this really going to hurt your team? He said, well, quite frankly, I don't know yet. It could be good, could be bad. Like everybody said, could be good, could be bad. What kind of answer is that? Well, we don't know yet. It could be a good thing. It's not a good thing for the young man that got injured, no. But for our football team, next man up, we'll see what he can do. So, sure enough, next guy up, he was second on the, you know, depth chart. Got in the game, and he had a great game, and they won the game, you know. I mean, so, you know, you don't know the circumstances. Is it good, is it bad? Something happened to me today. Is it good or bad? Well, I don't know yet. We'll see. See how the Lord might work it. You see, we open up to it. It's kind of interesting with Lou Holtz. Actually, he's a Christian.
So turning into Exodus chapter 19, let's take a look at this. This is, of course, with Moses and the release out of Egypt. You remember the bondage that they were in Egypt was well over 400 years, right? It's a long time to be in bondage. It's a long time to be a slave and have the thinking of a slave. Well, they certainly demonstrated that when they left Egypt, didn't they? They still had the mentality of slaves. God's going to say, you know, we're not going to be slaves anymore. You're going to be inheritors of the promise of the kingdom. I'm going to have to bring about some changes so that these people will start thinking like who they really are, kings and priests unto me. Let's read what he says here in Exodus chapter 19, and that'll be verse 4, please. And it says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. By golly. What did he do to Egypt? He pretty much destroyed Egypt. Not pretty much. He devastated Egypt. With 10 plagues on Egypt, that country has never been the same. Let's put it out there. He absolutely destroyed a civilization that, how could anyone destroy it? I mean, for those of you that have been to Egypt, I mean, it's just incredible what they had done thousands of years ago. I mean, the temples and all that they built. I mean, some of those people have masterpieces and, of course, the pyramids and whatnot. I mean, who could have brought this down but God? And I carried you on eagle's wings, and I brought you to myself. This is God's plan, to bring you and me to himself. And that's the whole thing why he does all that he does, because he loves us. And he wants to bring us to himself. He's working your life, circumstances, pressures, the pressures on your life, to bring you to himself. Each of us are dealing with particular pressures, areas that we're uncomfortable with, areas that he's challenging us with, areas that he's disturbing us in our lives. Because he loves us, and he's bringing us to himself. This kind of God is this. It's the mind cannot accept God. It's enmity against God. This is why God meets us in our hearts. He meets us in our spirits. He reveals himself to us, to our hearts. When he has our heart, he'll have the mind, he'll have the body and everything else, right? He's bringing him to himself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Wow. To be God's marked treasured possession. Although the whole world is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. He's making us into a kingdom of priests. Doesn't that remind you of what Peter said himself? You are a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood. He's making us into priests unto him. We don't have to follow the old Levitical priesthood, but nor do we have to wait to meet God once a year that only the high priest could do once a year. All that's then been abolished with the second great event that we're going to talk about, the manifestation of God in the flesh and the earth in Jesus Christ, the next great disruption that occurred for planet Earth. So this disruption was huge on Egypt. It judged Egypt, but it released over 1 million people that had been in Egypt for over 400 years as slaves, as God said the word would be. But the time came for their release. Time came for them to go out and to worship God, and that was the word that Moses gave them to the king of Egypt. I want my people free so we can go out and worship God. That's it? Really? Yeah. So Moses, they are a kingdom, a holy nation to me. These are the words you are to speak to all the children of Israel. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words that the Lord had commanded him to speak to the people. The people all responded together saying, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought that answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speak with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow," and so forth. Picking up then in verse 16, please. On the morning of the third day, number 3 appears there, morning of the third day. Does that remind you of something? There was thunder, there was lightning, there was thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp heard it. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with the Lord, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it, and the smoke from like a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled. It's interesting that there are, and this is another great word that I'm pursuing here, and I encourage some of you to look into it. This manifestation of fire occurs an awful lot in the scriptures. Every time God appears, there's usually a manifestation of fire. I mean, even in Revelation, Jesus Christ appeared in chapter 1, his eyes were flames of fire. Manifestation on the mountain here, there's fire. I mean, this constant thing of fire and the manifestation, cloven tongues of fire rested upon them as they received the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 of Acts. Again, the dawning of the church age came forth with fire on men's lives. It was a very interesting study that we're going to have to pursue a lot. There's a lot there, but all this really, you know, destroyed a system that once was the great system of Egypt, but released the people of God into the will of God. Again, the ultimate economist is what God seems to be. This the deliverance, the order, the direction, you know, the depth of the connection to himself is what he was establishing with this release. So, I mean, that's the thing we need to look for. We need to always look for the depth of the connection that he's establishing between you and him. Remember, you were created to have fellowship with him. You were created to have oneness with him. Before the fall, Adam and Eve, they walked, they talked with God, and they were aware of God, even clairvoyantly. The powers that they had, their subconscious mind was alive and very well to God. Okay? That's another, God's going to open up our human minds as never before. The age before us is going to be phenomenal as the kingdom unfolds. Because it is an age of spirit that we're entering into. Now the world doesn't see it. The world is not aware of it. They have no knowledge or understanding of that, of this realm. Because it comes by revelation. It comes by God speaking to our spirits. The age that is before us is an age of spirit. We've gone through much of the age of the physical realm, very much so in the age of the Old Testament, very much physical realm. We've gone through the age of the very much the psychic, the emotional, the soulish realm, which largely the church is built upon. But the age of the spirit, the kingdom, is an age of spirit. And what's curious is because the spirit of man that God breathed into man when he created him makes man unique from all other beings. You have then the gift, because you were created in the image of God, you have a spirit like God is spirit. God is spirit, and he created you spirit. Why? So that we could have fellowship with God, and we could also have fellowship with one another. This is why in the natural we enjoy being around people most of the time. A lot of us like to be by ourselves, we understand that. But there is actually, after they've done a study, that after 90 days, you begin to really lose it if you don't have contact with another human life. Kind of interesting what the studies have come up with. So it is very important because there's something that happens in a connection beyond just the touch and the sight and the sense of the spirit connection with another human life. Anyway, so all of this is what happened in this first manifestation of God totally just destroying and ripping things up. I don't want us to fear the days to come.
This is a very important point here. There should be no fear in the days that are coming. Yes, there will be tumultuous times. Okay? And these have occurred throughout all the history. Wars, rumors of wars. That's not the sign of the end time. Those have been going on forever. The sign of the manifestation is the increase of the revelation that comes. Just like the light that comes from the east to the west, right? The sun rises with more and more of that intensity and heat during the day, right? This is how the manifestation, this is what we're really looking for. More and more of the witness of Christ to our lives. More and more anointing coming upon the people of God. These are the things that we're aware of. These are the things we're coming alive to. We were meant to have those things, like Adam and Eve had, to come alive to God.
We should be claiming these things most dynamically. That the clairvoyance, a revelation, should be a commonplace thing for us. And that's what God wants. We're coming into it. We're coming into it. We bless the Lord. Okay, so there is a powerful example in the Old Testament, obviously, of how God really, really injected himself and great, great change occurred. From that great change, you spill over into Exodus 20,
and you talk about the great Ten Commandments. Well,
5,000 years later now, many people are still following those Ten Commandments. So you can really see God brought forth tremendous change up until that time. You know, the world was kind of just doing whatever we wanted to, you know. But the Ten Commandments came forth. They were guidelines for the people of Israel. A lot of people are using those guidelines even today. And also you can see that something great happened that time. The next great example I'd like to bring to your attention is out of chapter 24. Let's go to chapter 24 of Luke, please. We'll talk about the next dynamic change that I want to bring up to our attention here. Moving to verse 36 of chapter 24, this is when the two had gone on the way to Emmaus. Christ had appeared to them, right? They came back and to Jerusalem and said that we've seen the Lord. And everyone, what? I mean, they didn't believe it, right? So Christ manifested himself, right, to them. While they were still talking about that, Jesus himself stood in their midst. Now, what's curious to me is, it doesn't really say, but he had the resurrection body. This was on Sunday. He was crucified on Friday. And he appeared to them, except Thomas wasn't with him at this time. Okay, that's the next week. So, he just manifested himself. So, what's curious to me is his resurrection body must have had powers to just tremendous powers. Maybe walk through walls. I mean, it just doesn't. So, peace be with you. He had to manifest himself to them in a revelation to show, I'm real. I've fulfilled the law. I'm real. I've told you it would be 3 days I would come back. And I'm here. I'm manifesting myself to you. Very, very powerful. They were startled. They were frightened at this. They had seen a ghost. He says, no, don't be troubled. And do not, and why do you doubt? Doubt rises in your minds. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. It is I, myself. So, did they not recognize him? I mean, he had the verification of the hands, the feet. The form? Is he a ghost? What is he? What? Interesting. Touch me. See. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. So his resurrection body had flesh and bones. Okay. Key for the future here is the redemption of the body comes alive. This is another element of great study in that we've received Christ in our spirits. The manifestation of Christ is coming through our soul life, our minds, our wills, our emotions. But the body is slow to catch up with the redemptive process of God. But it will. It will. The body will come into the Christ body of resurrection. Another great study to pursue. When he said this to them, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still didn't believe, because of the joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? So it's pretty amazing that even his resurrection body could eat things as well. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses. Basically, he came to fulfill everything that was written about him. I've fulfilled it. And in the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. This is what is written, the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance, forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of all this. So this then marked in the beginning of the church age. And as we move then over to Acts chapter 1, let's go there. We'll finish up taking a look at Acts chapter 1. This is the account, most think by Luke, of the book of Acts that was written. In my former book, O Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, and after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after this suffering he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He revealed himself many times after his resurrection to many, many people. This is key. And this was over a period of 40 days, and spoke to them about the kingdom of God spoke to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." See, the Father has promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. Christ spoke about it, and it's going to be released for you within the next 40 days here. So stay here in Jerusalem. John baptized with water, but in a few days you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's one thing to be baptized with water, which is a step in the salvation process. Another thing to be baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? So wait here for that, because you're going to be endued with power when that comes on. And certainly it did come on. Chapter 2 opens up and the Holy Spirit within fell 40 days after this manifestation of Christ to them. And I think it's important that we look at a couple things here. When Christ appeared to them, he opened their minds. All right? If there's one thing the people of God can pray for now, is God, open my mind to all the things of God. My ways are contrary to yours, but open my mind and my eyes to God's ways. Remember, he said that he opened their minds and their eyes. Another important point here that I'd like to leave with you in closing is that over a period of 40 days, he appeared to them. This is verse 3. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the witnessing, the evangelism. No, he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. So, how will he return to us now? How will he return to us? The scriptures talk about he's going to come back the same way that he left. How did he leave? Well, he left in a cloud. He just vaporized before us. Yes, he did that. But he left, he didn't leave before. He appeared to the people again and again over a period of 40 days. That's a very important point for us to gather, because as he returns in this day, he's going to have many manifestations, many appearances to many people. And he's manifesting himself now on the earth again. Lord, open up our eyes. Amen. That God, that you will be so real to me in a manifestation, that the revelation of Jesus will be so clear to me. Can we ask the Lord for that? Yes. Remove all blinders from my eyes that I might see and I might know, even as I have been known. We draw that. We draw that. We have a great opportunity to be here, and I think we're going to be very challenged, certainly, as God begins to move more and more in the earth, and it's going to be challenging. Okay? But in the midst of the challenge, we have this. The peace of God will be ministered to those who have the revelation of God.
Amen.
As we see him, they became peaceful. Right? They had that. The peace and the rest came because they had a revelation of Christ to them.
Right.
We claim that in this hour.
Amen. Right.
The world's going to go through tremendous changes. And we're going to be right here speaking the prophetic word, because the Spirit of Jesus is that testimony, that witness of prophecy. That's the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19. So the gift of prophecy is going to increase. But we, in every way, we do lose that. And Father, we draw the presence and the power of the Spirit in this day, knowing that you want to reveal yourself to your people.
Amen.
We draw the revelation of you to us, that we might be the people of the kingdom.
Yes.
The kingdom people, Father. And be the progenitors of the age of the kingdom and the realm of the kingdom, because you've opened our minds to see, you've opened our hearts to believe, and we do believe. Help all of our unbelief in this hour.
Yes.
Father, in the midst of all change and transition, you're the only thing that will never change. Although thou art the consuming fire, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we call upon, Father, that revelation to sustain us in this day, that the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding shall guide our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. In your living name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.